Witchcraft, werewolves. What does the church say about that?
Well, they're against them all. But let's take witchcraft first and get progressively wilder. The thing about witchcraft is that you very often hear, especially from Wiccans and folks like that, that it was a loving nature religion, a religion of the seasons that the evil church knocked down, suppressed, and then invented the image of witchcraft to justify persecuting the old religion. That's the general story. Well, the reality is that, A, the church did not invent the idea of witchcraft. And by witchcraft, let me give you a definition. It is the giving of service, as we would say in the Christian world, selling one's soul to the powers of evil in return for, well, power. It should be pointed out that the church didn't invent this idea by a long shot. Firstly, the prohibition against witchcraft is from the Old Testament. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. But it wasn't the Jews who invented the idea either. And the proof of the pudding is that in places like China and parts of Africa and so on, where the church and the Jews are nowhere to be found, people still hang and otherwise abuse folk they consider witches to this day.
I just had a story before you came on about a little girl who was going to be drowned by her supposed mother and aunt because they were convinced she was a witch.
And where were they?
Angola is where they were from, and they ended up living in England.
Well, that's a story right there. I wish I knew more. But, yeah, I mean, it's a very, there is not a culture on Earth, I don't care how primitive, that does not have a belief in witchcraft in the sense that I've given it. Now, Wicca, and I must say I know many, many Wiccans. A lot of them are a lot of fun at parties and all that.
And good people.
Yeah, but their idea of where their religion comes from is historically inaccurate. I'm not the only one who says this, I have to say. A lot of very, very well-respected Wiccan scholars are admitting this. The whole notion of Wicca that we have today really originates with a lady named Margaret Murray back in the 20s. So I like to say it's an age-old religion that goes back to the 1920s.
And they believe in a male-female god, right?
Well, depends on who you talk to.
All right.
Some of them, in fact, a lot of them don't actually believe in literal god, a literal god and goddess, but say they're extensions of their personality or whatever. But again, this is a very ahistorical thing. You see, we always have to guard against reading back into history our own ideas. It's so easy to misinterpret symbols, ideas, and so on. I'll give you an example. If I say the eye in the pyramid, what does that say to you? The eye in the triangle, I should say.
Freemasons, the Illuminati, something like that. But to me, that's what I think about.
Of course, that's what most of us do. Now, based on that, I could prove to you that California was a Masonic plot.
How would you do that?
Well, I would point out that if you go to several of the missions, most notably San Miguel, they've got the eye in the pyramid over the altar, and that a lot of Father Serra's chasubles, which we still have, you can see them on display in different missions here, have the eye and the triangle on the back.
Same logo.
Oh, yeah, precisely the same.
I would not have known that.
No, you wouldn't. And if you didn't know what I'm about to tell you, you would look and say, "Ah, Father Serra was a Mason. California's a Masonic plot." And, you know, maybe that's not untrue in some way. But, no, seriously, the thing that you wouldn't know is that the eye and the triangle was a perfectly respectable symbol of the Trinity before the 17th century.
Before.
And because the Freemasons picked it up, we identify it with them. They did not become influential in Spain until the 18th century. And so for Father Serra, it was just a symbol of the Trinity.
Is that much like how the Nazis destroyed the image of the swastika?
Right.
Because prior to that, it was not, the connotation of that was not evil by any means. But now you look at it, or you see it, if somebody's got it on their lapel, you look at it and go, oh my God, you want to run away from these people.
Exactly. I mean, and there are temples in India you'd feel really trapped if you went into with all the swastikas around. And by the same token, the pentagram, which we think of as a symbol of magic and all that kind of thing, has gone through several incarnations. Under the Jews, it was the seal of Solomon. with which he enslaved demons to do his will. With the Christians, it became a symbol of a number of things, but particularly the five wounds of Christ and the five joys of Our Lady, which is why, if you read Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, you'll see that Sir Gawain has it put on his shield. And then, in our own day, it's been taken over as a symbol of the Wiccans, leading a lot of them to read back and say, oh, well, Sir Gawain must have been some sort of Wiccan paladin. Well, no. And the giveaway in that story is that he has the image of the Virgin painted on the inside of his shield. The other thing, of course, is that the Satanists invert the pentagram. And you know they're not inverting it to attack Wicca.
Well, that's true.
So it's the way they invert the crucifix. So, I mean, in all of these things, you've got to avoid lumping one thing in with another. If you don't, you'll make all sorts of funny mistakes, and if people know anything about it, they'll look at you sort of odd.
All right.
So anyway, we've gone off on a tangent there, but back to witchcraft. So the Church, from the beginning, has always been very, very much against people giving themselves over to the devil in return for spiritual power. So the question is, though, A, is it possible to do this, i.e., can someone actually sell their soul to the devil and get power in return?
Well, you take a look at the old Dr. Faustus. He sure could, huh?
Well, again, I would say the preponderance of historical evidence would lie in favor of the belief. But because I've never actually known anyone who's done that, I can't say for sure. I do know, however, that there are a number of, at least a few, of the contracts, you might say, purported contracts between the devil and his client, in the Vatican archives.
Why would someone want to cut a deal with the devil when he might be able to cut a deal with God and get the same, I guess, benefits?
Well, because for a reason that Anton LaVey, whom you may recall, and who didn't actually believe in the devil, by the way, but nevertheless, Anton LaVey said that his God, meaning the devil, gives you stuff up front, right away, whereas God just gives you pie in the sky by and by when you die, to quote Reverend Ike. The problem there, of course, is that by and by when you die lasts so much longer than here and now. But when people want something, they forget all about that.
And they want it right now.
They want it right now, and they forget everything else. It was Plato, I think, who said, the will precedes the intellect. You're going to go after what you want to do. Doesn't matter what you know to be true. Doesn't matter whatever you've done or promised or sworn. If you want it, you're going to do it.